AM 1070, The Answer.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Welcome to a show of faith, where professor, priest, millennial, and rabbi discuss theology, philosophy, and how they relate to the real world in which we all live. If you have any response to our topics or any comments regarding what we say, we would love to hear from you. Email us at ashowoffaith@hotmail.com. You can hear our shows again and again by listening pretty much everywhere podcasts are heard. Our priest is Father Mario Arroyo, pastor of St. Cyril of Alexandria in the 10,000 block of Westheimer.
Honor to be with you.
Our minister is the professor David Capes. He is the director of the Lanier Theological Library, but cannot make it with us tonight. And Rudy Kong is our millennial. He is a systems engineer, has his master's degree in theology from the University of St. Thomas. I am Rabbi Stuart. Hey, there you are. I am Rabbi Stuart Federo, Rabbi Emeritus, Rabbi retired from Congregation Sha'ar HaShalom in the Clear Lake area of Houston, Texas. Jim is our producer and engineer. Corey and Miranda are our board operators. And together, Jim and Miranda and Corey help us sound fantastic. And tonight, Mario is the
show director. I am. And today we're going to be discussing a topic that I find very interesting and very much something that you can experience pretty much anywhere anymore. Hmm. And that is called the culture of fragility. The culture of fragility. Now, let me read just the opening paragraph of this of the article, because it introduces the subject. And I'm going to ask Rudy and Rabbi to sort of divide the first segment to talk about the topic, the recognition of what's going on. The second half of the show, I want to devote more to what's underlying the causes of this. What are the issues behind it, because the fragility is the symptom. The causes behind it, I think, are very interesting and somewhat varied. And the article is from First Things altogether, firstthings.com, and it's called The Culture of Fragility, published by Simone Sepp, S-E-P-E.
And the word is, like, to be fragile.
Right, so, fragility.
Right.
Okay, listen to this, because I think it describes it. The article opens this way. I have noticed a new culture of fragility among my fellow academics in recent years. There's an aversion to all confrontation and any divisive discussions. Increasingly, professors avoid any situations that could lead to disagreement. And everyone is expected to praise one another, even when faced with objective failure. This culture of fragility stifles open dialogue and hinders communication. Collegiality has been reinvented and reinterpreted as avoiding causing discomfort for others. Rather than a norm of respect governing genuine debate and intellectual disagreement, This culture concerns me a great deal, for it threatens our ability as educators to prepare students to navigate the complexity of reality. Do you find that present in any of your dealings?
Absolutely.
Describe some of it.
Okay. Since you asked.
Yes.
Interfaith dialogue.
Not here, though.
Definitely not here. That's why I love this place. That's why I love our show.
Yeah.
But outside of this room, this conversation that we have on a weekly basis, thank God,
yeah.
No. You can't say anything or do anything that will cause discomfort for someone else. They could be talking about Satanism. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not pulling that out of my... I'm telling you. I can't remember how many years ago it was. It has to be pre-COVID. We had a joint Thanksgiving service, which I have a lot of problems with to begin with anyway because of my fragility. And you pick the religion, it was there. 15 or 20 of them. And I don't mean a variety of denominations of Christianity. I'm talking Wiccan, you name it. They were there doing their Thanksgiving thing. And we are supposed to sit and accept everybody else and can't say anything or do anything because you can't hurt. What was the line? You can't hurt anybody else's feelings.
Yeah. Collegiality has been reinterpreted as avoiding causing discomfort.
But that's our whole society. Avoiding someone else's discomfort is our whole society. That's the level of academic discussion, theological conversation, you name it. You have to watch what you say. And by the way, it is extremely difficult on minorities. Because already feeling minority status, okay, that you're already compelled to watch what you say in public, to watch what you say in a group or communal situation, okay, like interfaith dialogue, like interfaith meetings or whatever, and not even interfaith, you know, pick something, Elks Club, Rotary, Chamber of Commerce, you name it, and not everybody recognizes that there might be religions present that are not theirs. And so, you know, invocations name, you know, in the name of someone who wasn't God, to which we're supposed to say amen, but can't say anything because you might hurt anybody's feelings. Okay for our feelings to be hurt, but not okay for their feelings to be hurt. So the minorities keep quiet. This fragility of our culture is just permeating every single thing that we do, I think. I'll have to get the details at the break, so I should wait till I get the details. But Rice University, for whatever you may think, okay, has Rice Pride, which is for LGBTQ community. And the on-campus Jewish organization is liberal, is, you know, accepting, and they were supporting those efforts by Rice Pride. Rice Pride told the Hillel, that's the Jewish organization, you can't be part of us now because of the fragility, that's not their words, that's what we're discussing tonight, of the Muslim community who felt unsafe because they were Jews.
Holy God.
I'll get more details. I may have misspoken. If I misspoke, I apologize because, you know, the people out there are fragile. But, yeah.
Yeah, Rudy, you want to give any experience or any impression of the topic?
I think I would have rather have called it a cult of fragility instead of a culture of fragility is what came to mind immediately. And I also don't think that this is something, I think we tend to see it more on the left-leaning side, but I think it's also something that you see on the right, where a lot of people are kind of wrapped up, you know, I think both camps kind of suffer from this, from this kind of fragile state where you say anything about Trump and people immediately become, you know, hyper defensive and start arguing, and or you say anything about Biden, and I'm just kind of giving silly examples now, and people immediately start this kind of like ad hominem attacks on others. It's just kind of ridiculous. This comfort is what allows us to grow. I know, Father Mar, you give this example all the time, but going to the gym, right?
Yeah.
And I use it all the time. It's like when I wake up in the morning, okay, I take a cold shower. Why do I take a cold? It's not because I like to take a cold shower. It's not like because I love it. It's very uncomfortable, but there's a lot of health benefits that have been scientifically backed by taking a cold shower. So I purposely engage in this discomforting activity because there's some benefit, there's some purpose to it, right? So, and I think back as a child, when not as a child, but when I first got to the U.S., I was very quiet. You know, I was 11 years old. I was trying to fit in. I was trying to make friends. I spoke English pretty well. I went to an American school, but I didn't have friends. I wasn't around English-speaking people and peers all the time, and I had this kind of innate drive to belong. I wanted to be part of the group of friends, you know, that got together after school and went to the mall or went to the arcade. And as a result, unfortunately, I kind of got involved with terrible influences, which kind of led to some bad decisions. And so I wonder how much of this collegiality that you see, or how much of this, I want to call it, cult of fragility, is people that are misguided, seeking purpose, seeking a home, if you will, that want to find purpose in their life. And they find this thing, this movement, right? It's popular. It's in the media. You see it. People are for it. They have a lot of funding, the flags, the this and everything. And, of course, who wouldn't want to be that when you want to belong to something? So I don't want to rant too much about it.
Let me give my take, because we only got a couple of minutes and we got to go to a break. I notice it, but I refuse to, on most occasions, I refuse to participate in, in guarding myself. In other words...
You're so mean.
Yeah. No, in other words, I am constantly saying to people, respectfully, I disagree with you. And of course...
That is rare.
Yeah. And of course, I can see sometimes the amazement when I say I disagree with you, because it's almost like you're not supposed to. Because... the only exceptions I have is actually it's in the political arena. I am a Trump supporter. I shouldn't say I'm a Trump supporter. I am a supporter of anybody who's a Republican who's not Biden. Okay, that's basically...
Which was this 2016 election. I'm hoping it'll be the 2024 election.
Yeah, well, okay. So here's my point. Whenever you, it looks right now, I'm setting this up, it looks right now like Trump is going to be the nominee. It's looking that way.
Yes.
And whenever I defend Trump, you should see the looks on people's faces. Like, how dare you? How dare you, you know, defend that man?
I have such an example for you, too. I've had this experience so many times when people start bashing and calling Trump racist. And I'm not a Trump fan, and I don't want to, you know, get into it. But when I actually sit down and ask people, okay, can you give me an example of things that he's done and said, that they don't know. They don't know.
They don't know.
They just repeat and regurgitate things that they hear from some peer or some news media, and that's it. That's what sticks.
Yeah, the problem is the fact of the situation that it gets you in. It gets you into a situation in which you have to be ready to confront what may be a fairly belligerent situation. The only exception that I ever make is when I judge that the person who I'm talking to and the situation is not worth it. In other words, you know that it's going to be an explosive topic. You don't have the time.
Or the energy.
And you don't really consider the other person a worthy opponent.
Right.
So you just...
You just let it go. And everybody has the right to pick and choose when they're going to say something and when they're not.
That's right. And I'm picking and choosing right now that we're going to commercial.
Yeah.
This is 1070 KNTH, and we'll be right back.
This is an urgent announcement for anyone that's $10,000 or more in debt. Before you make another minimum payment, you need to know there are special programs that can completely free you of your debt. Total Financial Freedom can help you become debt-free in months instead of years. Resolve your credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and timeshares. Call now at 800-297-7411 for a free consultation. For 16 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands get out of debt. You can feel confident when calling because Total Financial Freedom is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and a Christian-owned company. Don't get stuck in the endless cycle of payments. You have the right to get your debt resolved and substantially reduce your monthly payments. Call Christian-owned Total Financial Freedom now at 800-297-7411. That's 800-297-7411. 800-297-7411.
Does your knee pain keep getting worse? Or how about that pain in your shoulder or hip or back? Don't let them tell you steroids and surgery are your only option. Call QC Kinetics. You can live again without that chronic joint pain and without drugs or surgery. QC Kinetics is advanced regenerative medicine. They take your body's own concentrated healing properties and put them right into your joint to restore and repair that damaged tissue that's causing all of that horrible pain. Finally, a real alternative to the old ways of dealing with pain. And unlike surgery, there's no downtime with QC treatments. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in this exciting medical breakthrough. Patients here are getting real lasting relief and saying no to surgery and drugs. If you have pain due to injury or arthritis, this is a remarkable option that you need to check out, and the consultation is free. Call QC Kinetics now at 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285.
Dennis Prager is annoyed with the green movement.
My sense is it's a parody. It's a joke. I am going to wreck the economies of the Western world. I'm going to put Africans into poverty because in 250 million years, the temperature, according to models, will be between 104 and 150.
The Dennis Prager Show. Weeknights at 10 on AM 1070 and FM 103.3. The Answer.
Johnny Angel,
you're an angel to me. Johnny Angel, how I love him, how I tingle when he passes by. Every time he says hello, my heart begins to fly. Johnny Angel, how I want him. He's got something that I can't resist, but he doesn't even know that I exist. I'm in heaven, I get carried away. I dream of him and me and how it's gonna be. All the fellas call me up for a date, but I just sit and wait. I'd rather concentrate on Johnny Angel, cause I love him, and I pray that someday he'll love me, and together we will see how lovely heaven will be. And together we will see how lovely heaven will be.
Welcome back to A Show of Faith on AM 1070 The Answer. And I found an article real quick. An LGBTQ student group at Rice University has cut ties with the school's Hillel in the latest instance of backlash from a progressive group against the Jewish campus organization's support for Israel. The LGBTQ group Rice Pride announced the split last week in a statement on Instagram that said Hillel's international umbrella group was, quote, not reflective of the values of inclusion upheld by Rice Pride. And then, according to Rice Pride's statement, Houston Hillel has provided funding for the group's Queer Resource Center. The two campus groups have co-hosted 12 events since 2016. A Rice Pride leader told the campus newspaper, the Rice Thresher, that no student has said the local Hillel has made them uncomfortable in any way. So,
but they're still cutting it.
But they're still cutting out. And yes.
The hypocrisy, it's just like the touting rally cry of inclusivity, and then to turn right around and do this nonsense.
And it's be non-inclusive. If you are afraid of hurting somebody else's feelings, how can you have any rational discussion?
You can't.
On anything?
You can't. All you have is the cult of superficiality.
Which is what people prefer. They don't want depth. They don't want content. They want ratification of what they already believe to be true.
Well, and these days, society has gotten to the point that if you say anything controversial in a particular context, you could get fired.
Or worse.
Yeah.
They'll tell the whole world where you live. They can boycott outside your house.
Well, not only that, in Canada and in places like, I think in England to some degree, you can be arrested for saying the wrong thing. I don't know if you were aware of that.
Yes.
In Canada, you can be arrested.
Well, for years ago, well before COVID, so we're talking 5, 6, 7 years ago, ministers arrested on their pulpit in Canada.
Yep. It is... The next, when we come back, we got 3 or 4 minutes, but let me tell you what I'd like to discuss, and that is what has changed that people cannot handle contradiction. In other words, what is the need, and where is it coming from, that we allow each other constantly to live in our own reality bubble without anybody challenging us.
Yeah, kind of. Here's probably where we're going to disagree.
But here's the other part. It's interesting because, you know, in colleges these days, constantly you're hearing college kids saying, I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe. And it's an interesting diagnosis that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, that's called a first world problem.
Yes. Yes. Because I think it has, a lot to do with also the lack of belief in God. And I'm going to bring that up as soon as we go, get beyond the break. I'm almost wishing we could go to break early. You can? Yeah, okay.
Okay, good.
Let's go to break early, and then we can come back and get into it. This is 1070 KNTH, and we'll be right back.
What I was told was bone on bone. I was going to have knee replacement, and I do not like surgery.
Desperate to avoid surgery, Julie decided to check out QC Kinetics non-surgical regenerative treatments.
My daughter actually works in a Chapel Hill, North Carolina lab, and I sent her all of the information that I was given, and she's like, oh, Mom, this is for you. I've heard great things about this. She's like, you need to try it before ever doing surgery.
Julie started the QC Kinetics natural biologic treatments right in the office, using her own healing properties to help restore her damaged tissue.
I know, my daughter was right. Yeah, it's nice when you've got that person you can go to who might have a little bit more information, especially on the science of it. QC Kinetics, it's life-changing.
Find out if you're a good candidate. Call QC Kinetics now for your free consultation.
Call QC Kinetics, 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. 713-913-5285.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-281-0266. 800-281-0266. 800-281-0266. That's 800-281-0266.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka can see the truth.
We now know that in the first 12 months, under the Biden open border regime, more than 110,000 Americans were killed from illicit drugs, including fentanyl. And that is a direct result of the man who's aiding and abetting the cartels from the White House.
America First with Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Afternoons at 3, right before Brandon Tatum at 5, on AM 1070 and FM 103.3. The Answer.
Strange Brew.
We are a strange brew.
Strange Brew. What's inside of you? Just let it play for kissing. She's a witch of trouble in electric blue. In her own mad mind, she's in love with you. With you. Now what you gonna do? Strange Brew. What's inside of you? All right.
Welcome back to A Show of Faith on AM 1070 The Answer.
Cream. That is one of my favorite groups from the 60s. Cream.
Cream.
Yep. Okay, now let me introduce the second half of the show when I would like to go into more of a diagnosis. And I'd like to introduce it with a paragraph from the book so that we can all have a common element of discussion. Listen to this, because what this author says is that there's a denial of what he calls realism. Okay, the denial of realism. Now, what is realism? Realism basically says that reality is independent of your feelings, that reality is what it is, regardless of how you perceive it and how you think about it and how you feel about it.
Right.
Now, listen to this. Realism asserts the existence of objective truth in an external, independent reality. Anti-realism maintains that truth is dependent on human self-understanding, on language, and on social conventions. Certain academic fields tend towards anti-realism, thanks to the emphasis of the role of language and a social construction of reality that questions the existence of objective truth. It's almost over. Another reason for the rise of anti-realism is the decline of belief in God, which has been supplanted by sentimentalism. Okay? Your feelings. A traditional religious framework, as traditional frameworks of religion wane, a new standard often emphasizes the human being constructing the structure of reality for themselves. But if we construct our own realities, meaning reality is dependent on us, in a world where we believe we are all independent of one another, this leads to feelings of impotence and frustrations when we encounter disagreement or alternative opinions. What's happening is, every single one of us, since none of us can be told we're wrong, we're walking around in a self-created interpretation of reality. So that when I challenge you. I'm not just challenging your opinions. I am challenging your self-constructed reality on which your self-esteem depends. What do you think?
I agree, but I think it's larger than that.
Okay.
Because we're talking feeling and sentiment. He talks about the sentimentality. It's sentimentalism, right?
Yes.
Okay. So let's take a parent whose child is in Little League or some sport. They don't want their child's feelings to be hurt. They don't want that child's reality to be busted, that they're not the greatest All-American baseball player on planet Earth. And so they want their child to get some award just for being there.
Yes.
Okay. I don't necessarily think that's because of an absence of a belief in God or an absence of a belief in religious reality, which is frankly what I thought the article was emphasizing. I think what he says is correct about challenging my reality, and as soon as you challenge my reality, you know, then then we have a problem. And I think that also, Mario, I think that there's a reason why there's been an uptick. Maybe not so much anymore, but I really haven't read statistics lately about road rage. There was a period of time in Houston history where road rage was really like getting out of hand. People were having fistfights on highways. And you'd hear stories about this every single day. Maybe we don't hear it because now it's so regular. Okay. But I think what happened is that people's perception of what their reality is that there should be only what is just and right. And so when something happens that violates that sense of justice, they're going to scream and yell. So for example, if they're driving along and somebody cuts them off, that's not right, that's not fair, that's not just, and it enrages them. Because in other parts of their life, they feel, I don't know what the word is, put upon. They feel, you know, that they're not being respected, whatever it is, in jobs and whatever, so that when this happens on the streets, okay, their reality gets shaken.
Yes.
Okay, and that's where I think this is correct. But the article seemed to me to be putting it all upon God as the overstating it.
I think what they're talking about, the reason, I didn't think he overstated it. I think part of it is that if you believe in God, okay, you are stating that there is a reality that has a claim upon your social construction of reality.
And that's true, but I don't necessarily think that's what's going on with children on campus feelings get hurt and need to go to a safe place to play with doggies.
I'm in agreement. But all of this is based on feelings that they're aiming ultimately at your personal well-being. You create a reality around you.
And anything that challenges it is problematic.
Is problematic. And therefore, insulting. So that you get insulted the moment anybody disagrees with
because
you.
Because the disagreement they take personally. That you can't, I can't disagree with your opinion on something because that's your reality, therefore I'm attacking you personally.
Yeah. Listen to this little paragraph. The sentimentalist anti-realist, okay, the person who makes up their own reality,
which is
view may also promote what he's called a fake demiurgism. Have you ever heard of demiurge? A demiurge is a god, a Greek god. See, the ultimate god is the ultimate god, but the demiurge creates reality. Okay, and so a fake demiurgism is the false idea that we change reality as much as necessary to improve our emotional state. However, our inability to control the laws of physics leaves us ill prepared to handle uncertainty, and this is one of the sources of our frustration and fear.
Mario, here's the thing. I think every one of us, me, you included, Rudy included, okay, we have a sense of our reality. We think we know what our reality is. We've constructed the reality in which we live. But when things happen that contradict it, we begin with an attitude of, maybe they're right. Let me listen to them, and I will respond accordingly. I think what's missing is this, it is derived from this feelings overall.
That's correct.
Feelings uber alles, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yes.
Okay. And that my feelings are more important than your reality or even my reality, because it's not the reality that counts. It's my feelings about the reality that counts.
Yeah, that's correct. You are not supposed to make me uncomfortable.
Right.
In any way, shape, or form, because that's where you get this whole idea of I don't feel safe. What does that mean? Your life is not in danger, but your cocoon that you interpret the world is being challenged, and that's what you feel unsafe with.
Weaker victims invite bigger bullies.
Yes. Rudy, get into this.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where to start. There's an encyclical that I read from Pope Benedict, the late Pope Benedict, who passed away not too long ago. And he quoted, I'm not even going to try to say, Yuri Ditinus Didakuska. I'm not even going to try to say it.
That's easy for you to say.
Anyways, what he says is this: learn willingly what you do not know from everyone. The person who has sought to learn something from everyone will be wiser than all.
Yeah,
and the Talmud, I think what we keep, was that, Rabbi?
I was just going to say quickly, the Talmud says, who is wise? The one who learns from everyone else.
Yes.
Same basic
idea. And I think you're absolutely right, Rabbi, when you said that whenever something happens that challenges my world perspective, and as a God-fearing man, my first instinct needs to be, okay, what is happening right now, and how can I absorb this? How can I make myself better? But the first thing is I need to sit back and humbly ask myself these things, so that I understand the situation correctly. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people suffer from what many would call cognitive dissonance. Yeah, go ahead, Rabbi.
And Rudy, I think what happens is that the generation that had to get an award for everything,
yes,
okay, whose feelings were always protected by their parents, who never allowed the child to maybe learn and take responsibility for a behavior that was inappropriate, it is the part that makes the sentimentality, was that his words? Sentimentalism.
The sentimentality?
Okay,
sentimentalism.
Right.
Yeah.
Paramount. That it's because if they had been raised where, sorry, you weren't on a winning team, you don't get an award, this is reality, or if you do something bad, you get punished for it, if that's their reality, they might have been a little bit more open when they get challenged of their opinions. But because they're Rabbi, starting out with my feelings are the most important, look at how my parents raised me,
yeah,
why would they have anything else?
Rudy?
Do you think that, the way I see this is so I look at history, right, and I think that, and we have almost become a victim, and I say we because I consider myself part of this kind of American dream too, right? Even though I wasn't born there, but I've spent a lot of my time there, my education, my formation. So I think that in America, you had this kind of communal society that believed in these kind of objective truths, right? Valdemar, you say this all the time, and we hold these truths to be self-evident.
Right.
Right? And so now, this kind of pursuit of communal revelation, if we will, of this divine revelation that we all kind of agreed and say, okay, yeah, this makes sense. Rabbi, you're created in the image and likeness of God. Mario, you, I don't know what happened, but maybe
cute. That was cute.
But really, what I'm saying is, it's almost like it unlocked a potential, a human potential, where we discovered so many things, soap and all these scientific things, and golly, did we extend our life? Were we able to live longer? Were we able to sustain ourselves? Were we able to grow food? I mean, look at our supply chains now. We live in a world of immediacy, where I can go to the supermarket at HEB, and I can pick fruit from all over the world. I mean, can you believe that?
It's even
better than Kings did.
Anything that you want is now in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Because you can order it on your cell phone through Amazon or whoever, Walmart, whatever. The next day it's in your back.
It's not only that. If you look at what is happening in computers, these visors that you put on in front of you.
Yes. And creates your reality.
It literally creates your reality for you. And more and more we're obsessing into our phones. It's immediate satisfaction. It's constant. 10 seconds.
I can't do it in 10 seconds.
Okay, this is KNTH 1070, and we'll be right back.
Dr. Gorka here, and you know me. I am very cynical about products, especially those that claim to help people suffering from pain. So when I tell you that Relief Factor truly works, I want you to know that I mean it. I suffered from a stiff lower back for almost a decade, one so painful it made it difficult to kneel in church on Sundays. When I finally decided to give Relief Factor a try, I didn't ever imagine that I would find myself free of the pain. But that's what happened. Now I take Relief Factor every day. Almost 70% of the more than 500,000 people who have tried Relief Factor end up ordering more. That's because it works for them the way it worked for me. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? Your first step to becoming pain-free should be to order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. Feel the difference.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-978-0930. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-978-0930. That's 800-978-0930.
Del Wamsley and the Wealth Cycle.
This is the wealth cycle that I've taught for 30 years. Buy one house, 10 houses, an apartment, two apartments, 8, 20, 500 units, 1,000 units, 2,000, 5,000 units. And as you keep putting the money and the profits back in, you become one of those rich people. And much quicker than you'd even believe.
Learn Del's Wealth Cycle at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Use promo code 2023. Save 60%. Code 2023. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
When you start your day, forget about the mainstream media for the truth. Everything you need to know is right here on The Morning Answer. Starting at 5 a.m. with The Hugh Hewitt Show. Chuck Diller will have the AM 1070 520 oldie, along with traffic and weather throughout the morning. At 8 a.m., it's The Mike Gallagher Show. Mike gives you the analysis of the latest news and how it affects you. The Morning Answer, weekdays at 5 a.m. on AM 1070 and FM 103.3. The Answer.
Perfect, perfect. Listen, we got it to let us play a little bit.
He came from somewhere back in the long ago.
A sentimental fool.
Don't see what hard to recreate what has yet to be created.
So he has to create it himself.
Once in her life, she musters a smile
for his nostalgic tale. Never coming near what he wanted to say.
Never coming near what he wanted to say.
Only to realize it never really was.
It never really was.
She had a place in his life. He never made her think twice.
He never made her think twice.
As he rises to her apology, anybody else would surely know.
He's watching her go.
He's watching her go.
What a fool believes.
There it is.
What a fool believes he sees, no wise man has the power to reason away.
What seems to be is always better than nothing.
Is always better than nothing. Boy, is that the epitome of what we're talking about.
And nothing at all keeps bringing him back.
Corey, well done.
Well done, Corey. That's the theme song for today.
Yeah, really.
Because what a fool believes he sees.
No wise man has the power to reason it away.
Because what seems to be is always better than nothing. You were talking about what seems to be a machine.
This was we talked about it in the early 70s in my undergraduate psychology. It was a machine probably from the 50s or 60s, I guess. They discovered that a person's iris opened when you saw something you liked, something that was pleasurable. The machine would measure your iris opening and show pictures on this screen, okay, kind of like what you were describing they have now today with the reality, but it would show pictures on the screen. It would measure your iris or whatever it's called opening, and it would just give you more of the pictures that would make your iris open wider. In other words, that you like to see. Extremely addictive.
Yeah.
The people would do anything they could to be put on that machine again. They got rid of the machine.
Yeah.
But you're talking about the machine now, the created reality?
Yeah, the goggles that you put on.
What's the difference?
There isn't.
It's the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing. And I would argue that to some degree, the internet does the same thing. Like, for example, when I go to YouTube, I like to watch videos. It's amazing how I get all kinds of videos that I really like.
Yeah, how that works.
Yeah, because they know what I'm dealing with. And Amazon knows exactly what I like.
And have you watched those videos and all of a sudden a couple of hours have gone by?
Yeah.
And you have no idea where they
went? And you know the other one, we're talking about invented reality, okay?
Right.
That's what because basically we're talking about each one of us kind of walking around creating our own reality and then becoming very fragile about anybody messing with it.
The Matrix.
But you know what? I brought this up. What about sex and pornography?
And pornography, same thing.
Pornography is people who don't want to encounter real sexuality. And what you do is you invent your own and you live in your own bubble of sexuality.
And what did we just sing?
What
a fool believes he sees, no wise man can reason away.
But it's always better than nothing.
Yes.
Isn't that? I think that that's the part that I think in terms of God. Because what the human being has done, and I'm not ready to attribute this to original sin or to anything
like that.
Okay. But the human being has seen is... who was it? T.S. Eliot said, humanity cannot bear too much truth. Human beings cannot bear too much truth. We have alienated ourselves from the substance of reality, and we are increasingly inventing our own reality. This whole transgender it's the same thing.
This is the difference between us, Mario. You go straight for T.S. Eliot. I think of the first Men in Black movie where they talk to what's his name's character talks to the other guy. I can't think of the names of them.
Oh, the decadence.
K talks to J. How's that?
Oh, the decadence of culture.
Yeah, the decadence of culture. It sucks you in and doesn't let you leave.
What?
What'd you say?
Tommy Lee.
Tommy Lee Jones talks. K talks to J, and he says, you know, basically, you can't tell the people the truth about the aliens. They can't handle the truth. They don't want to know the truth. See, you go to T.S. Eliot, I go to the movies.
I know. Rudy, jump in.
He says, a person can be intelligent, rational, this, but people are manipulative. He makes the comparison.
And then he says, you know it's true. He says to Jay, and you know it's true. Just like everybody in the audience knows it's true.
Okay, listen to this. This is the last paragraph I'll read. We are opting to live less than fully in the reality we have constructed, a false Eden of safe spaces. We promote the good only if it's compatible with our feelings. We refrain from ever saying no or you're wrong. The notion that our no can trigger discomfort in other becomes our own discomfort. We call it moral to reject uncomfortable truths. This is particularly concerning in a context where we're supposed to be guided by the scientific method in its various mm-hmm. forms. So he's right. We refrain from ever saying no or you're wrong. The notion that our no can trigger discomfort in other becomes our own discomfort.
Hey, Mario, you're wrong. Now, did that make you feel uncomfortable?
Well, JC, you and I, we're used to
disagreeing.
We're used to disagreeing. That's why we...
Let me ask you...
Yeah, go ahead.
Father, Rabbi, do you think, though, that it is more a factor of where you are in the stage of your life, where, you know, and I'm not calling you old, but more like ancient, right? So,
thank you for that. Thank you.
So, but no, but seriously, I would say that you're confident in what you're experienced in life has fortified, if you will, your beliefs or how to act, that you've come to believe that I need God in my life or else I don't function correctly.
Rudy.
Right? And people...
Go ahead.
Yeah, Rabbi.
No, go ahead.
No. Well, I guess my question is, do you think that it's more of a function of kind of where you are, kind of later stage in life, I would say?
I think that's part of it, and I hate to beat a dead horse, but I also think it's part, we weren't raised any other way. We weren't raised where our feelings were more important than our beliefs, more important than everything else.
That old saying, I heard it on the internet periodically, facts don't care about your feelings.
We were raised to believe that facts don't care about our feelings.
That's right. That's right. And it's interesting because here we go. This is the closing paragraph. What are we going to do? Hmm. And this guy, his last sentence of the article, this lady, says, I bear a moral responsibility to uphold the truth and potentially disturb the comfort of those around me. I will do so because I respect them and I love them.
Sounds nice, Mario, but I think in most situations, whether they are social or not social, for example, those who hold a conservative view of life will keep their mouths shut because they're going to choose go along to get along more as more important than saying to somebody, you're wrong. They're just going to let it pass. Okay, not worth the effort.
I would hope that more and more of us would have the courage. Again,
the courage. That's the word, the courage.
It doesn't mean that you have to immediately be contrarian whenever you hear.
And you can be nice and respectful. And
Or sometimes what I'll do is if I hear something like that, I go, let's not get into that because we're going to disagree. And I move on.
And I understand that, because sometimes it's not appropriate to have those conversations.
That's right.
But I think that, for example, I think people who are more conservative keep their mouths shut more often.
That's right.
In most situations, because they fear backlash, ostracism.
That's right.
Cancellation.
Being what's called politically incorrect.
And being therefore accused of racism or some prejudice.
Oh, yeah, and you are going to be used. I've been accused a couple times already of, you know, what, homophobia and all kinds of different stuff like that.
I've been accused of being a hater.
Yeah. Well, you know, the only kind of people I can't stand, Nicaraguans.
Yeah.
I was going to say Cuban. No,
wait, I thought Guatemalans?
No, Rudy's Nicaraguan.
I thought you were in Guatemala
half
now.
Half Nicaraguan, half Guatemalan.
Oh, there we go. Half and half.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
The two ends.
Rabbi.
What?
We have 1 minute.
You said something, and I think the reality is that we've cornered our society to now that people, and I think this is a problem, that to speak out could endanger your job and livelihood.
And
so when you think about what is good, people and conservative people tend to ask ourselves, what is better, that I provide for my family and give them something to eat, or that I speak out of some ideological...
What's more, right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. There's a great man,
and that's
ways a great man, Rudy, that we very much think a lot of, who said, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so they did of the false prophets."
Say it again.
Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so they did of the prophets.
Right.
So, well, we are in our last 40 seconds, and yes, it has been a very interesting discussion.
And next week is David
on for next week? I don't know.
We'll look it up.
We'll be here, though.
That's the important thing.
We are always here. And Rudy, you should fly
in. It's David.
Yeah. Okay.
You need to fly in, Rudy.
I need to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Folks, this is 1070.
Yeah, it's only 2 hours.
Yeah, it's only 2 hours. This is 1070 KNTH. We've been talking. We've had a great time talking with you. Please keep us in your prayers, because you are going to be in ours.